Wall Street makes guesses about what happens to markets if we don't know who won soon after the election. I'm David Brancaccio. President Trump yesterday repeated his unwillingness to commit to a peaceful transfer of power after the election. And while that certainly has constitutional experts concerned, it's also worrying stock market strategists. Here's Marketplace's Kristen Schwab.
Market experts have always helped customers figure out what they should do with their investments heading into a presidential election. And those strategies usually depend on who's expected to win. Of course, as 2016 taught us, predictions are just that. And if political experts can't call an election, maybe economists shouldn't try? But try they are. Goldman Sachs economists said in a note last night that the worry is overblown and that between early voting results and high voter turnout, there will be a victor on election night. And in turn, the market will stay steady. Meanwhile, over at UBS, market experts say we should expect strong volatility in the market if there isn't a clear winner on election night or if President Trump contests. Economists often look to previous elections to model upcoming ones, but 2020 continues to break the mold. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
All right, let's bring in a referee here to consider how we should think about the market effects of a disputed election result. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Hi there.
Good morning, David.
So are you making any rash predictions of just exactly how the market's going to go if the election's hung up?
I'll just say this. Uncertainty is volatility. Whenever the market isn't sure what's going on, there tends to be volatility. I wouldn't necessarily predict that it lasts for a long time, but I have a feeling there's going to be some churning in the market regardless of what happens on election day. Although by the time we get into next year, it doesn't seem to matter who's elected. Once the presidential election is behind us, the stock market always tends to do well in the first year.
FHN's Financial's Christopher Lowe. With nearly 900,000 people signing up for unemployment benefits after fresh layoffs each week for the last 3 weeks, who is buying houses? Well, lots of people. New home sales in August have hit their highest level since before the Great Recession.
Low mortgage rates are absolutely a factor.
Danielle Hale is chief economist at Realtor.com, right? 30-year mortgages below 3%, given the low interest rates caused by the pandemic. And in some cramped places like New York City, some people have been fleeing for greener pastures in the periphery.
With all the extra time at home, we do see a consistent trend towards people looking for more space. And that is usually easier to find as you get out to the suburbs. You'll have extra space for maybe an office or a potential extra space for students to learn from home. The suburbs are definitely high up on the list because of that affordability factor.
You know, it's just bizarre though, right? We're in a pandemic. I guess this fits into the picture of not a V or U-shaped economic recovery, but what some are calling, I don't know, a K-shaped recovery, one leg down for people who are laid off and this other leg up for people who kept their jobs, who are profiting from assets like the stock market and being able to get into a house.
Yeah, I think that's a good observation. I think it's worth pointing out too that new home sales broke the 1 million mark for the first time in 14 years. But this is also one month's activity. So some of what we're seeing is make up for a spring in which not very many home sales happened because people were stuck at home and not getting out and doing the things that normally happen in a really active, normal housing market in the spring.
The chief economist at Realtor.com, Danielle Hale, we caught her at home at this early hour. The International Chamber of Shipping is appealing to the United Nations to help an estimated 400,000 merchant seafarers marooned at sea because of the coronavirus. Their employment contracts have expired. The number could rise to 1 million as the year wears on unless governments come up with a plan to bring them home. Countries won't let the ships dock amid concern about the spread of COVID-19. The shipping industry publication Lloyd's List also reports there are 400,000 more seafarers stuck on land waiting with little or no pay to relieve the stranded crews. The The Texas A&M football season gets underway tomorrow night in College Station, a town of about 100,000, defined by the university. I mean, it's called College Station. Because of these pandemic times, they'll fill only a quarter of the stadium. Marketplace's Andy Euler checks in with local businesses that depend on the autumn Saturday surge.
I met Wade Beckman on the patio of Shipwreck Grill, one of the restaurants he owns in town, on a rainy Tuesday morning just before a modest lunch crowd arrived. He's been struggling since COVID-19 emerged in the spring, even operated at a loss over the summer. He says he needs things to pick up this autumn.
Yeah, we're scared. If we don't have fall by January, we're not going to be in a position where we can continue to operate. And so we're putting a lot of bank on these football game weekends are at least going to bring us up to, you know, paying our bills.
He admits that he doesn't know what to expect on Saturday. Texas A&M isn't allowing any tailgating for the game, which could mean good traffic for his restaurant.
This weekend is so just, it's crazy unknown. We know it's going to be, we're pretty sure it's going to be busier than a normal weekend, but we just don't know to what level.
In normal times, banking on being busier than normal at a bar or restaurant on a game day in College Station is a safe bet. According to a study commissioned by the Texas A&M Athletics Department, people who go to sporting events spend more than $120 million a year. It's the only game in town. Dennis Jansen is director of the Private Enterprise Research Center at the university.
We don't have any natural wonders, and we don't have South by Southwest. But what we have is Texas A&M and football. And we draw tourists from other cities to come here to watch football.
Those tourists normally fill hotels and spend money all over town. Some locals even leave town and rent out their homes to visitors. Ben Wiggins lives in College Station and would normally go to football games with his family, but not this time around, not when the coronavirus is still spreading.
I still love the football team, big fan of the team and, of course, the university. But at this time, the correct choice for me is to stay home.
He doesn't begrudge anyone for going to the game and trusts the university has done all it can to make sure people are social distancing and understand the risks.
There will be thousands of people there, and I don't think less of any of those people. But it's just personal choice for me. I might attend games later in the season.
But for now, he's lying low. His daughter's actually celebrating her first birthday on Saturday, so they're going to have a little family-only party for her instead. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And seeing as I grew up in Maine, and seeing as it's September 25th here, is National Lobster Day, I figured it would be a good chance to check in on how these trying times are for lobster crews in New England.
There is some relief, and that relief has helped. But that being said, there's also a bunch of payments that have been put on hold. And, you know, we kind of made our way through the summer and things look great now. But I'm really worried what could happen here, you know, when you start to hit November, December.
Marketplace's Lucas Southard has been making his inquiries to find out how these hardworking lobster people are hoping to stay above water in an industry that was already struggling with low prices for years before COVID. You can read his piece at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.